Dawson, a week ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Indianapolis Colts 44-17. A guy named Maurice Caristo Jones Drew ran for over 160 yards, and everybody's saying Jacksonville is the hot team. What do you think happened yesterday, and why is this such an up-and-down season?
Well, tell me how many yards he rushed for yesterday. That's the thing. To be consistent like that is very, very difficult to run for that many yards. You know darn well when the other team that you're playing the following week after a great performance by somebody that's relatively unknown, they're going to try to find a way to slow that person down, and they were able to do that. And so, you just can't assume because, okay, we did this last week. Now they should be able to do this all the time. You know, go out and assume that you're going to do it, but you have to give credit to the other guys over there that they're trying to figure out a way to make sure you don't do it. And that, was it the same attitude going into the game yesterday as opposed to a week ago? Well, I'm not there and I'm not inside their heads, but evidently it wasn't. And that maybe somebody else had a better game plan defensively.
Well, the bottom line is that Tennessee had 98 yards offensively. Almost four times as many for Jacksonville. But the defense turned, they had an 83-yard interception return. The big plays are what mattered. Interception return by Chris Hope, by Adam Jones, and a 92-yard fumble return by Cortland Finnegan. Can you coach, by the way, Sam Huff, can you coach your team to be able to reduce or restrict the amount of the return so they don't have these big plays?
Well, yeah, you can run the football, if you got a great back there, and normally Kansas City has, great running backs and everything, but Liddell Betts now with the Redskins, since their number one runner, Clinton Portis, got hurt, Liddell Betts has stepped up the backup, and he's had over 100-yard gains in a row now for the Washington Redskins. He is really running with the football, and he's given Campbell a lot of help there, because all Campbell has to do is hand that ball off. And whenever you can run the ball, and Lombardi always said this, if you run the ball, you control the clock. And when you control the clock, you can control the game. But you got to have a running game to go along with that good passer.
And speaking of running games, Len, let's talk about the game you were at last night. I know you're sleepy-eyed, but I think you remember some of the painful parts of it. Before the 85-yard touchdown run, there was a fake punt as well. What do you think the Kansas City Chiefs defense was not doing last night?
Well, the Kansas City defense shouldn't have been on the field when Tomlinson ran for 85 yards for a touchdown. What happened was the play before that, the defense had stopped San Diego. And Kansas City, by the way, shut down their quarterback, Rivers, because he hadn't thrown an interception in a long time. He threw two interceptions in the ball game, and I don't know if he threw for 100 yards. But the thing is, fourth down, they are punting, and Bernard Pollard out of Purdue University, a special teams guy, went in and blocked the punter. He got his hand on the punt, but it traveled across the line of scrimmage. Well, now some rookie on special teams tried to grab it, missed it, but he did touch it. It hit the ground, and they fell on it. And a lot of people didn't know the ruling on that. That ball went back to San Diego. That was a huge, huge play in the ball game. And the guy didn't know, they understand the rules, because if he had just gotten out of the way and let the ball fall down there, Kansas City would have had the ball, because they couldn't advance it after it had been touched. It's just like a punt. It goes by the line of scrimmage. Well, if it goes by the line of scrimmage, it goes back to the return man, and he fumbles then. If he touches it and fumbles it, it's the other team's ball. Well, that's the way the ruling is here. But unfortunately, the young rookie defensive specialist, well, he's a running back, but he's on special teams. He didn't know that. And so he didn't even bother to pick it up, didn't bother to get out of the way. And they recovered it. After some discussion, the ruling came out that everybody understood it. The next play, bang, 85 yards. Tomlinson running over the left side. Nobody touched him. Everybody was blocked. Linebackers on that side was blocked. The receivers did a good job of getting in the face of the defensive backs, and Tomlinson did the rest. And to me, that was the huge turning point in the game, because the score at that time, when the punt was blocked, was 7-3. Kansas City had a chance, even though they hadn't done much until that point, to not only get back in the game, they could have taken the lead with a touchdown. They'd have been inside the 15-yard line. So here again, It's a mental mistake, and generally that's what happens in these games week after week after week, is somebody makes a mental mistake, people don't communicate, they don't know the rules of the game, and it changes the outcome. To me, that was the difference in the football game.
Len, where was Greg Wesley? The safeties did not get over to have a shot at tackling Tom LT until he was at the 15-yard line. That leaves 60 yards where the safety somehow could not get close to LaDainian Tomlinson.
You got to understand, I believe LaDainian Tomlinson is a little faster than Greg Wesley. First of all, you got to get over there to catch up where he was going, and then he got over in that area. Then Tomlinson is a great runner, that he just made some moves, cut back a couple of ways, and jumped into the end zone. He's never touched. But it started with the good blocking up front, and taking care of the linebackers to get him into the secondary. He's one of those backs like Larry Johnson. You get him into the secondary and get him out there in space with defensive backs back there, he has a good chance of getting by those people. And Tomlinson is Schottenheimer, I think, we discussed this before, the best that he had ever seen. Well, he's a different type of back than some of the other people, but he is an outstanding back, and he was a difference in the ball game. He rushed, I think, totally 199 yards. He was over 200, but he got tackled for a loss late in the ball game. And what they had him out there for, I have no idea, because he got whacked in the jaw and was hurting after the ball game. With, you know, he had 200. I think he had 199. They wanted him to get 200.
That's what
difference
it was. Exactly. Hey, Sam Huff, before we get to Rich Cimini, talk about the Jets' big win and another team that is coming on, another unpredictable turn of events. I remember back in the day, and Len, I'd love your comment on this as well, when Christian Okoye, a big back for the Chiefs, was gaining so much dominance, defenses started to try to run him wide, get his shoulders away from the line of scrimmage, pointed to the sidelines, and it would make it more difficult. That looks like what San Diego did last night against Larry Johnson.
Well, I'll give you an example. Now, if Willie Lanier was still playing for the Kansas City Chiefs middle linebacker, Tomlinson wouldn't have made that big run. I can tell you that now. And the way they coach these linebackers now, they have them more interested in trying to cover a pass than they do stopping the run. Tomlinson, you got to have that middle linebacker key right on him, get up on the line of scrimmage right off the heels of those defensive tackles, and when he comes through that line, pop him. And that's what you got to do. You got to hit this guy before he gets started, because he will outrun everybody else.
Sam, let me ask you something. These linebackers today lining up almost 5 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Yes. And you know, and you're giving the running back so much room, Lynn, and they can move and cut. You know, they're not a 235-pound fullback. You know, these guys are, you know, they only go about 205 and something, and they're faster than most guys. Not faster than Jim Brown, but I mean, Jim Brown was unbelievable, so you don't even talk about him. But LaDainian Tomlinson, as we talked about, is an excellent running back, and he can cut and go, and that's what they're doing.
Len Dawson, a final question before we move on to the Jets game is, when a guy like the quarterback for San Diego is having such a bad game, what does that mean for the San Diego team that has seemed to have so much balance up till now?
Well, first of all, their defense is strong, and they kept Kansas City out of the end zone. So they could do some things, you know, take some chances, because they know that their defense is going to be able to hold Kansas City's offense. They're really struggling because the offensive now line is not blocking at the point where Larry Johnson sees any holes to run through. But, you know, Rivers made some mistakes yesterday. He got Kansas City back in the game. They changed the rules that when you get outside the pocket, you can throw the ball away. Well, for some reason, he got outside the pocket. They are ahead, and he decides to try something great. He throws it right to Greg Wesley, the safety, who returns it, and they end up getting, I think, 3 points out of the play and didn't get a touchdown. But the thing is, you know, when you have a great runner, you run that runner, and you tell the quarterbacks, listen, don't take chances. You know, if you're outside the pocket and, you know, you can't find anybody that is open, throw the ball away, because most plays don't work. You know, they don't work the way it's drawn up on the blackboard. Most of them, you know, you look for that 3 or 4 plays during the course of a game for big plays that will get you in a position to score or will score, and then hopefully that your defense can hold the opposition.
Well, I'm thinking it's San Diego and Chicago at this point, but Lord knows it may shift next week. And we're joined by Rich Simini for the New York Daily News, who is watching a New York Jets team that's learned to win on the road. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Tell us about three straight big wins. What is the secret to this team with the youngest coach in the NFL?
Good coaching is a big part of it. Despite his age, he acts like he's been there before. He's got a plan. He sticks to the plan. They're extremely well coached and disciplined. Yesterday was a little bit of a hiccup. They had seven penalties, which was a little bit unusual. Usually they average about two or three a game. But, you know, he's got them playing well. The Jets don't have a lot of great talent. They're kind of average talent. I wouldn't be surprised tomorrow when the Pro Bowls are announced that the Jets don't have any players in the Pro Bowl. It wouldn't totally shock me, but I think that kind of illustrates the team concept he's trying to build here.
Lavernius Coles, 12 receptions, 144 yards. What else is the key for this team? Because the Chiefs have not learned to win on the road. What is the difference between this and past Jets teams?
Yeah, it's amazing, Nick. It's a good point, because last year the Jets were 0-8 on the road. This year they're 5-2. So, of course, they're a lot healthier this year, and they have their quarterback, which they did not have last year, and that makes such a big difference. But you mentioned Coles had a phenomenal game. They just came in this game with a great game plan. I mean, the Vikings have a tremendous run defense. They're the best run defense statistically in the last 64 years in the NFL. So the Jets just came out throwing. I mean, it just was kind of obvious, but they did it, and they did it successfully. And I think they threw on 22 of their first 32 plays. And Pennington was just razor sharp and just really carved up the Minnesota secondary. And Coles was really on his game, had a great game.
Finally, Rich, Minnesota, which everyone was raving about with their running game, with a newly established dominant offensive line. Yesterday, I guess it was Chester Taylor, had 11 carries, 38 yards. What's going on with Minnesota? Why have they been one of those teams, again, has turned around after a bright start?
Well, they have some problems there. There's a very restless home crowd. Crowd is booing throughout the game. Brad Johnson is, I'm assuming he's finished as the starting quarterback there. They removed him in the fourth quarter. And Tavarius Jackson, the rookie, came in and really brought a spark and got the offense moving a little bit. And I fully expect that Brad Childress will announce that Jackson is the starting quarterback. If he doesn't, he's crazy. And it was just the play calling was rather predictable and really lifeless. And the fans were just all over the team. And they just got some issues there. It's a shame because they got a pretty good run defense, but they got a lot of issues on offense.
Well, thanks for joining us, my friend. As always, check out Rich Simini, New York Daily News, covering the Giants and the Jets. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Nick.
Appreciate it. Okay, guys, let's talk about some fun stuff. T.O. spitting in the face. Back in the day, Len Dawson, if that happened to one of your teammates, I think we just lost Len for a second. Let's move on to Sam. What would happen if that happened back in the day for you? We've got 30 seconds in this segment. Sam?
Did you lose everybody, Nick?
Len, are you back?
I've been here.
Hey, buddy.
I've been here.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's go to this after the break. Let's talk about T.O. and the spitting thing and whether that used to happen back in the day. I have a feeling that maybe to some degree these things happened all the time. We'll be right back with Len Dawson and Sam Huff on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.